Welcome to Taught Not Told, the podcast that brings together diverse perspectives, life lessons, and stories to challenge how we think, grow, and see the world. If you're new here, today is another solo episode, and these episodes are where I share with you guys what's been on my mind, spanning anywhere from current affairs to ideas that have popped into my head to interesting books I've read that I think are worth discussing. Recently, while chatting with a friend about some of the civic engagements that I'm involved with, they followed up with a question that really stuck out to me. Are you only doing this because your parents are making you? For a bit of context, I'm very involved in the social justice space. My life is often quite busy because of this, and it's something that takes up a lot of my time outside of school and requires sacrifices, like not always having the time to hang out with friends. But my advocacy has always been a source of joy and of pride for me, so I was taken by surprise. It hadn't really occurred to me before that this might be the impression that others were getting. So in today's episode, I want to explore this idea that working hard must come from pressure, whether it's school, family, or some perfect future that we're supposed to be chasing. And I want to talk about what I believe could be an alternative place to divert our focus, to find purpose, build passion, and become happier and more fulfilled in the process. So, with that being said, let's get right into it. It's hard to force yourself to do things that you don't like. I mean, fair enough, you might be thinking. Isn't that just common sense? But it's actually been surprisingly hard to get it to stick in my head. I always find myself audaciously thinking that I can get by with sheer willpower and grit, even if it's draining to do so. As you might expect, this mindset has never really worked for me. I've always ended up feeling burnt out and without purpose. This isn't necessarily something that was taught to me, but it is something that is overwhelmingly true that I've noticed over time. Mainly it's something that I've observed in getting involved with social justice. I've found that it's very hard to feel motivated to fight for a cause that you don't truly believe in. Why spend all this time and effort wasting your energy talking to people who don't agree with you, having to argue and challenge your own perceptions, which can be confronting, taking time out of school or work, only to do something that you don't even like? Obviously, there's so much that I love about the social justice movement, but I'm playing the devil's advocate here. You're probably wondering, what does this even mean? Are you saying that we should only stick with the things that we do like? How do we go about finding out what we like? What if the things that we like don't align with the things that we're good at? What I've learned might come as a surprise to you, or it may not. It certainly makes logical sense though. Most of the joy that we feel for certain things are joys that we associate with past experiences. For example, when I say that I love music, I'm not saying that I love the idea of music. I'm saying that I love the feeling of standing on stage. I love the jitter of pre-performance nerves and the relief as the last note is played. I love the friends that I've made from singing in choirs, playing in the orchestra, performing with my theatre group. For me to love music now, I've had to have experienced music over time. So in that sense, love is built just as much as it is found. Something that my mum has taught me over the years is to spread my time wisely and to prioritize the things in my life that I genuinely enjoy. She's taught me that exposure before passion can be good, but too much forced exposure at the expense of other things can also be detrimental. It's this fine balance between passion and obligation that often throws people off. When the new year kicks off and we're all out here setting New Year's resolutions, that goal of going to the gym every day sounds exciting and achievable. It's fresh in our minds, carrying with it a sense of novelty and excitement that makes anything feel possible. But why is it then that most people's New Year's resolutions are kicked to the curb by February, when that shiny vision of 6 a.m. gym sessions poofs into oblivion as our hands fumble to turn off our morning alarms, as after-school study sessions turn into after-school snacking sessions? Suddenly, we look back at our overly optimistic December selves and wonder just where we went wrong. The truth is, nearly everything feels exciting when it's new. Anyone can dream big. It's really not that hard at all to laze in bed and think about all the amazing things we could be doing, like learning a brand new language or working on our dream body, without the urgency of a deadline, but only the limitless span of our boundless imaginations. In reality, though, very few people actually follow through with their ambitions. Everyone is productive when they're motivated, but it's often those who continue to be productive even when they're tired and not in the mood that end up getting to where they want to be. It's a bit of a no-brainer then, right? Isn't it fair then to conclude that the key to achieving anything is to do something a lot and often? Practice and consistency? Not quite, because in reality, it's a lot harder than it sounds. A book I've been reading called Good Economics for Hard Times explores the concept of risk aversion. The idea that people tend to avoid uncertainty even when taking a risk could lead to a better outcome. For example, many people in poorer countries choose to stay in their home city or country, even when, from a purely economic standpoint, moving elsewhere could provide many more opportunities. And that makes sense. The fear isn't just about risk itself, it's about uncertain uncertainty, where the potential downsides feel unpredictable and overwhelming. Because of this, many people end up staying in situations that don't serve them, simply because the alternative feels too uncertain. This goes against what economists assumed we would have done. There's the idea in economics of the perfect economic man, an econ rather than a human. Econs make perfectly rational decisions with personal benefit in mind. In reality, though, us humans are irrational. We procrastinate. We like to help others without ulterior motives, simply because it makes us feel good. This can be both a good and a bad thing, in my opinion. It can be a really great thing to greet life as it comes, and to accept that you can never really predict what life will bring, so don't spend too much time stressing about planning out the future. But on the other hand, to never plan ahead means that we lack direction. It's this sense of drifting through life, waiting for decisions to be made for us, often when we no longer have much of a choice, that drives us to seek cheap shortcuts to get to where we want to be. When people chase outcomes without putting in the long-term effort, I've seen it lead only to associating hard work with drudgery and seeing effort as futile. And that's when the question often arises. Are you just doing this because you're being forced? When we stay still for too long, we lose the momentum to move forward on our own. Instead of carving our own path, we're being pushed from behind and steered down a road that someone else chose for us. But real growth comes from walking by choice and not just being shoved in a direction that we never picked. Something that I care about a lot is climate justice. Recently, I went on a national leaders retreat with 20 or so other young people from around Australia. We spent 4 days staying in a harbour lodge in Sydney. The view was stunning, and it felt so special to stay so close to nature, in a little piece of bushland in the middle of a bustling city, tucked away. It felt like discovering a secret. The aim of the 4 days was to upskill active Australian Youth Climate Coalition leaders from around the country and to support us in our community organising in preparation for the upcoming Australian federal election. Election campaign work and even just general community organising involves a lot of action in many different forms. It's never just about attending one event and leaving it at that. Whatever you choose to do in the months leading up to the election, whether it be taking interviews, organizing stalls, or handing out scorecards to have more climate conversations with everyday people, something I've learned is that community is key. To be civically engaged as a young person shouldn't just be talking to decision makers without getting to know your community first. The movement that I'm part of is a people's movement. And that, no surprise, involves actually talking to people. At the leaders' retreat, we also chatted a lot about the many different reasons why people might join a social movement. Some people join to make a difference, to feel like they're part of something that's bigger than themselves. Some people join as a great way to meet new and like-minded people and to feel a sense of belonging, especially people who are new to a city or country and maybe aren't super familiar with the language and cultural norms of the new place and are looking for a group or community to join. Some people join to gain new skills because, surprisingly, the skills that you learn in social justice are actually really transferable. For example, our ability to connect to other people through shared values, to engage with decision makers, to follow world affairs, and to create content that tells stories are all incredibly valuable skills to have. Despite the many different reasons for joining, though, one thing is in common: a shared sense of purpose. We're learning to be proactive, to step outside of our comfort zones, to be patient, to be ambitious, and to be compassionate. Advocacy in itself is never one isolated event. It's a long-term commitment to fighting for a cause and showing up for that cause every day for as long as possible. When I tell people that I care about the environment and social justice, people sometimes assume that it's just a part of the woke politics that young people are involved in. And in some ways, I understand where this perception may come from, and while I don't agree with these opposing views, I do try to talk to and listen to people. I genuinely believe that despite all the disagreement in the world today, many opposing perspectives come from a place of good intentions. At our core, so many of our values are the same: caring for our loved ones, wanting to feel safe, striving for fairness, and not wanting to be taken advantage of. With the election coming up, the choices by those in power will directly affect our lives, whether we actively engage in politics or not. And that's why I think communicating through values is so important, because that's where we connect as people. That's also what Taught Not Told is about: creating a space where diverse voices, especially conflicting ones, can share life lessons and perspectives that help young people to navigate the world. It's about understanding the why behind different viewpoints, learning to process them, and using that knowledge to have meaningful conversations and think critically about our own values and the future that we want to shape. As young people, it's so easy to get caught in a spiral of worrying about how others perceive us, constantly analyzing our choices to make sure that we project the right image. In today's world, when 97% of teens aged 14 to 17 use social media regularly, we're staring at curated, filtered versions of people's lives every day. When that's the first thing that we see in the morning after waking up, and the last thing that we see before going to sleep, it's inevitable that we start comparing ourselves, internalizing impossible standards, and feeling like we're falling short. But since getting involved in the climate movement, I've realized how freeing it can be to take the focus off myself for once and to shift my energy toward the world around me instead. There's something incredibly grounding about stepping outside that bubble of self-consciousness and actually channeling all of that energy into action. Have you ever thought about the fact that mirrors don't exist in nature? Maybe it's because we were never meant to spend so much time staring at our own faces. Imagine if we all cared a little less about fitting in or looking perfect all the time, and a little more about showing up for our communities, making an impact, and working toward a better world. Wouldn't that be something that's worth striving for? A quote that I heard recently that I really loved was, "The social justice movement is meant to be social. Advocacy isn't only working in silence, it's about community and connection, being surrounded by like-minded people, sharing a sense of purpose, and having fun while working toward something impactful. That's what makes it fulfilling." So back to the question: are you only doing this because your parents are forcing you? I know it wasn't meant maliciously, but I do think that it reflects something deeper about how our society views civic engagement, especially for young people. While plenty of the people around me see value in getting involved, in general in Australia, the statistics tell a different story. 14% of Australians admit that they rarely or never take part in social or community activities. This means that a significant portion of Australians are feeling disconnected from broader community life, which raises an important question. Is this a sign of a bigger shift away from civic engagement? And if so, why should we care? Well, we should care, because civic engagement is the backbone of a functioning society. The National Assessment Program, Civics and Citizenship, or NAPCC, found that in 2019, only 38% of Year 10 students, so that's my age, met the required standard for civic knowledge. Their report puts it plainly: this means that many young Australians are ill-equipped to fully engage with democratic processes or understand their rights and responsibilities. And that's the real issue. Gen Z and Gen Alpha are growing up in a time where so much emphasis is placed on ourselves, our personal brands, our online presence, our individual success. As a result, many people feel increasingly disconnected from their communities, which is a pretty scary thought when you consider everything that's going on in the world right now, with communities being driven apart and becoming increasingly isolated. That's why, for me, getting involved isn't just an option, it's a necessity. And no, it's not something that anyone should be forced into, but it is something that can give your life purpose, connection, and meaning. Thanks for listening to this episode. Did you get anything out of it? I'd love to hear what you thought at taughtnottold.pod@gmail.com. Next time on the podcast, I sit down with a woman whose career has been defined by courage, conviction, and an unshakable belief in justice. Professor Gillian Triggs has spent decades defending human rights, leading the Australian Human Rights Commission, shaping international refugee policy, and using the law as a force for good. But beyond her high-profile work, what stood out to me the most was her deep commitment to mentoring young people. She understands the challenges that we face today, from climate change to social inequality, and believes in equipping the next generation to take them on. This conversation was both eye-opening and incredibly personal to me, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening and for letting these stories be part of your journey. Until next time, keep listening, keep growing, and remember that some lessons are taught, but the best ones are lived. So see you on Taught, Not Told.